This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience, where we talk about building wealth through real estate. Today, we're going to talk about how to manage your investment in your house and your mortgage after you've bought it. So you've had the house for a little while, and what do you do with that mortgage? How do you know when to refinance? How does all that work? My name is Dick Girard. My co-host is Pat Draw. So, Pat, let's talk a little bit about managing your mortgage and how we can help people with that.
Well, I mean, it's probably, of all the times we've talked about this, I mean, we're smack dab in the middle of some of the best interest rates of all time for 30-year fixed. And, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And now is going to be one of the best times. But at the same time, I mean, you just look at where you got to look at the numbers, and you got to look at where you're at currently and what you can do with your mortgage. So I think in the spirit of what's happening as we speak, let's talk about just purely interest rate, because there's about 10 or 12 different categories that we've outlined that, you know, make good reasoning for managing your mortgage in different ways. And one of them is saving money, right? I mean, paying less interest, saving money on your payment. And the most obvious way to do that, which again, like I said, we're right in the crux of it right now, is when rates are low, take advantage of them so that you lower the amount of interest you pay in the long haul and you save money on a monthly basis.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of different ways, but like cash flow is definitely one reason. And you got to look at opportunity costs too, right? Well, I don't know if I want to go through the hassle for $200 a month, you know, or $500 a month. You know, it's really not that big of a hassle to do. You know, we've got it streamlined pretty good now, where we don't have to have that many pieces of documentation. So it really is a lot easier than it used to be to refinance. So kind of think about that too. But if you can save $200, what could you do with that $200 each month? You know, could you pay down some debts and all those kinds of things? There's a lot of things that you can do with that money, and how you use that money in the future really is how you build wealth.
Well, that's exactly right. So, I mean, a lot of people really want to have like, these massive numbers, because our society is like, they want everything now and they want it right away and they want to be able to see it and feel it and touch it. So, I mean, I would argue that the number is only relevant to whatever you're going to do with it. Cause I can tell you, there are certain borrowers that I've seen that could take $100 savings and turn it into potentially, you know, tens or hundreds, even hundreds of thousands of dollars over time if they do the right thing with it. You know, so does that make sense to maybe, you know, refinance, save $100, $125 a month if you do the right thing with that $125 a month? Absolutely it does. I just talked to a guy the other day, very interesting story, and I didn't even think about it this way. He said he was talking about his Roth IRA, and he was 65, he just retired, and the one thing he said, he goes, I barely had enough money to squeeze in, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 every year. He goes, but ever since the Roth kind of, you know, was an option for me, he goes, I did it. And he goes, now I'm living off of it. He goes, so I've used my Roth, putting that little away for as long as I could. I use my Roth and I'm living off that between now and the time where my Social Security maxes out, so I can take the max amount of Social Security. And so he's got like, I think it was like a 4 or 5 year window where it was like his Social Security didn't get any higher, so he could start collecting it. But he's using what he put away all under $2,000 a year. All under $2,000 a year? Sorry, not 200. What is $2,000 a year? I mean, it's $1,650 a month, something like, or $165 a month.
Yep.
Okay, my math is all extra zeros.
Right.
I'm thinking big, but yep. Yeah, $165 a month is $2,000 a year. Okay. Now, does that make sense? And I'm talking about a guy who did this for years. And I mean, I don't remember the dates on when the Roth became available, but it hasn't been around forever. You know, right. So this guy couldn't have been putting it away
in the '90s. Like yeah, in the '90s, yeah.
Was it? Yeah. So I mean, yep. You think about it. He put away a very small amount on the Roth for probably 20 years, 25 years, and now he's living off of it. All the same as if he said, "My budget can't support another $165 a month. Where do I find that?" oh, interest rates are lower. Let me refinance my house. Well, what do you think would have happened if he said, oh, I don't want to do that because it cost me $2,200 to refi my house. I don't right. want to do that because it doesn't make sense to save $165 a month.
Yep.
It's all about what you do with the money. So it's really the perspective that you have to take with what you're doing with your savings. And that's a guy that did it for, you know, 20, 25 years. What yep. about somebody that's, you know, in their 30s that can do it for 30 years or 35 years right now? I yep. mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know? So, I mean, that's one way we always look at it. And with the fact that rates are low, I mean, your savings may be more. Matter of fact, quite oftentimes it is a lot more if we look at how that really works.
Yeah.
So I think you take that perspective of what can I do with this money and what are my opportunity costs in the long term and how do I make this all fly?
Yeah. Well, I've got an example that I'm doing right now. Older gentleman that is retired and they have a car payment. So that he called to just, you know, lower his interest rate and save a little bit of money, right? Yeah. And we looked at everything and he's got a car payment that's about $800 a month. So he's been pulling out of his IRA to pay for that car payment, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pay the car off, we are going to save him over $800 a month with the lower interest rate and even pulling money out of to pay the car off. He's going to save over $800 a month. And if you figure $800 a month, even at just a 3% compounded interest rate, you know, over 10 years, that's $115,000,
right.
You know? And so instead of having that money going out, and that doesn't even include what he's going to save on the other money that's in his IRA that he doesn't have to pay taxes on when he takes it out.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things that you can do, but that's building wealth. It's not just staying put into one thing and moving forward. It's trying to lower your payments as much as you can, use this to pay off this, use that to, you know, invest in this and, you know, really taking advantage of all the opportunities that are out there.
Well, so what I would challenge Dick is this. I think that people need to take a strategic objective in terms of how they do this, right? Because there's many ways. And again, like I said, I mean, we can identify probably hundreds. However, I've always looked at there being like 10, maybe 12 really different ways to manage your mortgage that really encompass the majority of what you want to do. And with that said, when you take that strategic objective, you look at all the different pieces of the puzzle from the interest rates and what you do there, taking cash out to pay off debts like you're talking about and reducing payments, or even doing things outside of, I mean, there's things you can do, you know, like, and I've considered that, like, you know, I don't have a car loan anymore at this point, but, you know, I used to look at those all the time and be like, okay, if I refinance my new car and drop my rate a point and a half, which I remember seeing something where I could have done it,
right.
It dropped my car payment by like $95 a month.
Right.
And I did the math and it would have cost me $50.
Yep.
It was $50, a $50 fee to do the application and stuff. And I almost did it. I didn't do it because the car was going to be paid off pretty quickly, but I just thought, what can you do with that money? So there are things you can do across the board when interest rates are low. And especially when you talk about managing your mortgage is like looking at it all at one point in time.
Right.
You know, I'm meeting some customers today and that's what we're doing. We're going through everything going, okay, where can we lower some things? Cause we really need to start investing more for the future. And we know that our largest payment is our mortgage payment. And we know that, you know, in the last 3 years, we've built up some equity and we want to take advantage of that by doing some different things. We're talking about buying an investment property with some equity from their house. We're talking about paying down some credit cards and reducing their interest rate and their mortgage all at once. So it's a full strategic planning session that we're having today so that these people can sit there and look at the big picture. But their goal is to build up wealth through the investment property because they know that rates are low and buying an investment property right now is a smart thing. They know that rates are low and they have some equity, so they want to refinance and lower their rate. They're also looking at paying off some credit card debt as well, all at the same time. So, I mean, I look at it like a full boat planning session in terms of what they can do because we want to free up some capital.
Right.
They're increasing their assets. They're freeing up some capital all at the same time to do these different things. And it's big.
So let's talk a little bit about why people aren't jumping in and doing this right now. And I think one of the especially in the last couple of days, right? The stock market's gone down 1,000 points yesterday. It's down another 300 points now today. So what does that create? It creates a lot of fear, right? And what happens when we have fear? We kind of stop and we don't act, right? Well, these are the times that you have to really act on some things to really better yourself, because when the stock market's down, that drives interest rates down. When the stock market goes back up, which it will at some point, nobody knows when, and it could go down a little bit more, but this time of fear, we can't just freeze up and not do anything and wait. What we have to do is act, and those are the people that are going to create the real wealth by taking advantage of these dips in the stock market, take advantage of these low interest rates, and you could cash out, and lower your payment and start a business. There is all kinds of things, because right now we have. It's a very strange time right now as far as finances goes. So we have one of the highest consumer debts, meaning credit cards, car payments, those kind of things. That's very, very high right now. But we also have one of the most home equities right now, because houses have gone up so much in the last few years, right? Values have gone up. So we have a lot of debt, consumer debt, and we have a lot of equity. So we need to change that and move those things around strategically. Most credit cards are 17, 20, 30% even, some of them. So that is huge. When we can be, on a mortgage, you can be in the threes right now. That's a big, big difference. And then that's amortized over a long period of time, instead of having it those short-term credit card rates. And they can change so fast, and they're going to go up in the future too. So it's really, we can't be fearful at this time. We've got to be strategic. Now, we can't just jump in and not have a plan either. And that's what we're here for, is to have a strategic talk like you're going to have this afternoon with your clients, and that I'm going to have this afternoon with my clients, to look at their full financial picture and really make a plan on what makes sense to do. Should we just save a little cash by lowering your payment, or should we cash out and pay some things off? What's the best route to go?
Well, that's exactly right. So I think it really depends. So strategically, it doesn't always make sense to do those things. Right. And when I say that, it's like, it's hard to put this in perspective, because we got to speak in generalities, and everybody's different, right? Everybody's situation is like a fingerprint. It's completely unique from the stability in your job and your income situation, to the longevity in terms of, what you're doing now. There's a big difference between being in the accumulation phase of life than being in the, where I'm, somewhat of an empty nester at this point.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, now I'm focusing totally different than what I did before with regard to accumulating all the things in my life. I don't have to accumulate, things anywhere near the same as I did in the past. So it's a totally different perspective.
Right.
So I think that when we say things, people have to understand that what we're talking about is very general, because really the idea is this: you have to have a strategy, and everybody's is going to be different. So the best thing always to do is have this conversation with professionals and find out your options.
Right.
And if your professional that you speak with is not going through the options and playing devil's advocate in some situations, or giving you what if scenarios in others, then they're not doing their job. Because the bottom line when it comes to those types of things is this: the idea is that we've seen this, right? You're going to do this, your planning stuff and your strategy only happens every so often. Maybe once every 6 months, maybe once every year, maybe once every 3 years, depending on your situation, right? Where we're doing it daily. So we've seen different things, and we've already seen where mistakes have been made, or maybe things could have been done differently, take better advantage of what the opportunities are. So the idea is, and this is why we always encourage you to call us and reach out and say, hey, can can we have this conversation? Can I talk to you about these types of things? You know, I have a mortgage and I want to look at what these rates can do for me right now, you know? And it's not a matter of going, what's your lowest interest rate? Because that's right. The one that drives me crazy. And yes, I mean, we're all rate conscious because it's in the news, it's all over the internet, stuff like that. But it's not about what your interest rate is. I mean, even though ultimately we boil it down to the lowest possible interest rate we can get, the idea is what is out there for me to take advantage of to make sense,
right?
Make the most sense for me and my future. And the one thing I will tell you is this, from seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people's financial situations, as a country, we are grossly underinvested and undersaved, grossly. So we're over debt, right? We have equity, we have these options, but we have too much debt in terms of how much debt we carry as a national average, and we're grossly undersaved for the future. And that's always a concern because there are so many easy things that we can do strategically from what we're doing, you know, from what you have available to you right now to really change that.
Yep.
But what you want to do, and the hard part is this, and I liken this to somebody who says, I want to start working out. You know, I'm 50 years old and I've never done any kind of exercise at all in my life. Well, you're not going to start out by running a marathon. You're going to start out by walking, right? Or if you're like, hey, I've got to lose 50 pounds, you're not going to start out by, you know, trying to lose 50 pounds in a month. You're going to start out by going, I'm going to lose 1.5 to 2 pounds a week max, because that's how it's going to work. And that's what's the safest for me. It's a journey you have. And the financial piece to your puzzle is also a journey that you have to have. And the big thing on that is this, take it little by little, but the sooner the better. Yep. So if I look at you and it's like, okay, first things first, you know, we can only create so much income for you because you have a job, right? And we're also not, again, when I speak in generalities, I see some of these financial guys are like, go get a part-time job. Well, guess what? The other thing is you have to live your life, right? So we want to be realistic about it. Let's look at what you're doing right now, you know, where you're comfortable, and let's change those things first. How do we get some savings of any kind into your camp, and what do you do with those savings? Is it simply just lowering the rate because that's all you have? You have no debt? Is it lowering your rate and paying off debt to eventually carry more money in terms of cash flow to invest in the future? There's all these different things we can look at. But I mean, the idea is this, let's start by walking before we're running to make sure that we're doing the small things that don't seem so insurmountable than the large things, right? I mean, think about it. If you came to me and you said, Pat, you've got to save $10,000 a month to get where you want to be. Okay, well, I'm going to be like, screw it, I'm doing anything. But if you said, hey, let's start by putting away $150 a month, just $150.
Right.
And how do we free up that 150? Because I know in your mind, you don't feel like you have 150.
Right.
No matter what, everybody seems to feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck. And most people are. But there are things you can do to free up that money and create that habit of putting it away to doing the right things in small chunks so that it makes a big payoff. My example of the 65-year-old guy who couldn't put more than $2,000 a year away in the Roth because he couldn't afford it, but he did it. And that's my point.
Yep. No, it's you're exactly right. I think what drives me crazy is when people say, "Well, I'm just not good at finances." And you know, it's not rocket science, you know, it's just addition and subtraction, you know, and the reason that people aren't good with it is because they're scared of it. And they think it's way more complicated than it is, because it's not that complicated. You know, you have to, if you have a budget, you know, you go by that budget and you budget in food, you budget in entertainment, you budget in savings, you budget in investments. If you do all that, then you're going to end up further along than someone who doesn't do that. So it does take a little bit of effort, but it's not that difficult. But everybody should have a family budget. Everybody should, you know, be really keeping track of what they, you know, what they spend and what they spend things on. And they need to have the basic, but it doesn't have to be super complicated and you know, accounting for every penny that you spend either, you know, but.
Well, right. I mean, I think there's a, so it's again, I mean, you know, that I study all kinds of different things in terms of like, you know, exercise like that. And the number one thing, and I struggle with it too, in terms, especially when it comes to like developing my, my workouts over the course of a 6 or an 8 week plan, I want the end results, you know, and that's the hardest part is
get,
that it's
get
the
rich, get rich quick, right?
Time. Yeah. And there's a particular guy in the powerlifting world that I follow, and I followed for years, and he says it the right, he says it perfectly, but in a nutshell, paraphrasing, of course, he says, if the, you know, the strength game is a lifelong pursuit, if you're looking to get to this, this major end result right away, it's just not going to work, partly for a number of reasons. One of which is, I mean, in that world, you're going to get injured, but in real life terms, it's too rigid, and you're going to not see the benefit of it, because you can't celebrate it in these large successes until you get there. So one of the things I've always talked about in the world of like sales and developing your business and stuff like that are developing your small successes, right? I mean, that's the number one thing, is that you have to have the ability to have these small successes along the way that lead to your big success. So if my goal is to save $500,000, and this isn't for everybody, but I'm talking in generalities, because some people have the ability to keep their eye on the big picture for right. a long, long time, but most of us don't, including me, right? So I have to develop these small successes along the way. So if my small success is going, hey, I saved $250 this paycheck, and I put it into my Roth IRA because that's 1/24th of my $6,000 max contribution, that's a success, right. right? So I see that small success every 2 weeks, the 15th and the 30th, I see that and I go, hey, it's pretty cool, right?
Yep.
But if my main goal is to go, I want to be where that guy is, that, that person I talked to, that 65, and he, I don't know how much he has, he didn't tell me, but my I imagine he's got to have a couple $100,000 in there if he's going to plan on living four or five years out of it. So if I want to be there, I can't sit there and just go, yeah, $250 isn't getting me any closer to $200,000. I'm just going to give up. Right. I got a small success is knowing the big picture, because that's what helps me as that type of personality see the big picture. And right. I think one of the things that, as you and I have talked over the years, you're a much bigger picture guy. You know, you can look at these things and go, hey, I'm going to be there. I'm just plugging away my money and doing my thing, and you forget about it. So, I mean, I think you and I together represent the broad sides of the spectrum in terms of what people can do. Most people lie somewhere between me that have to have these little successes along the way to stick with it, or you who has a big picture and just sees it and goes, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stick with it, and I don't care, you know? And everybody falls in between us.
Everybody's different, and there's nothing wrong with being whoever you are. You shouldn't try to be like me or be like you or be like anybody else. You got to be who you are, and just, you know, work within that. You know, make your own budget. You know, some people want to spend $1,000 a month on entertainment, you know, going out and all that. Some people don't want to go out at all. You know, and that's okay. You just need to make sure that you're budgeting it, and that you're not spending more than you make, you know, and that you're factoring in savings and, you know, whatever else. If you're paying for kids' college, if you're, you know, buying cars for kids, or you don't have kids and you want to, you know, buy a second home or whatever it is, you just need to plan for it and go a little bit at a time, because that, and those small successes are huge. You know, if you have 5 credit cards that have big balances on it, you know, sometimes the smartest thing to do is not attack the biggest one, you know, attack the one that has the least amount on it, so you can have some success and get rid of that one totally. You know, now you've got rid of that payment, and that might not have been your highest interest rate card, but it's that success of showing, wow, I paid that card off. Now let's go attack the next one.
I just used that strategy.
Yep.
Seriously, I only have 2 credit cards, and you know, one of them I put the kids' tuition and stuff like that on, so the balance was way up and way down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what, I'm not splitting these two, because I don't want to have 2 balances. Like, right. To me, mentally, it was like, man, I got 2 credit cards.
Right.
You know. So yep. I took one, and I just, you know, I did what I had to do on the one where I put the tuition and stuff on all the time. The other one, I just knocked it down over the course of the last year to the point where I owe nothing on it now.
Yep.
Now I just have 1 credit card balance. And yep. To me, mentally, that was a huge success.
Absolutely.
But I had balanced these 2 out for years.
Yep.
Use one, and then I'd be like, oh, I'll pay a big chunk on this one and a little on this one, and then I'd use this one.
Yep.
big one on this one. It was like, then I constantly kept feeling like I had all this credit card debt. But really, in reality, I really didn't.
Right.
I just felt like it because I'm like, man, I have two credit cards with debt on it.
Yep.
You know, and that I have two. One,
well, and on it, yeah. And just think if you have five, you know, I mean, it's daunting. It gets overwhelming to you. And then that fear thing comes in again. It's like, and then you freeze up and then you don't do anything. You know, you have to just have a plan and work the plan and take the long-term approach. Like we said before, you know, it's not a get rich quick type of a thing. It's not losing 50 pounds in a week, right? It's right, just exactly. Attacking it a little bit at a time. And the first thing you have to do is have some sort of a budget, know what goals you're looking for. And then we can help you take a look at that and see if managing that mortgage a little differently can make sense to you. And help you get your goals. I want to. There's one other thing that you talked about in a little while ago about interest rates.
Yeah.
And about the lowest interest rate. All you know, that's all people think about. You know, but you got to be careful with that, especially now when interest rates are very low. You know, we're hearing on commercials. You know, 30-year fixed. You know, 2.875 and just some ridiculously low rates, which you can get. We can do those rates, but you're having to pay a lot of fees in order to get those rates. So getting the lowest rate and paying a lot for that is not necessarily the best thing. It can be a good strategy for some people, but for most people, it's really not the best strategy. So be careful with that, because I talk to clients, you know, that have paid, you know, 2, even 3 points on getting a lower rate, and it a lot of times that just doesn't make a lot of sense. So
the life of the average mortgage across the country is less than 5 years.
That's right. So you have to make sure that you pay out in that.
2010, it was like 2.5 to 3 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, think now it's like upper 3s to 4 years, I believe. And again, you can look at numbers all across the board, so you probably could find something different. But it's all, no matter what, the average mortgage is under 5 years for almost everybody. And I've seen all kinds of scenarios where, you know, I had somebody come to their day that had a 30-year fix from, I was like 6 or 7 years ago. They had like 3.375, which is just ridiculous, which we're really close,
right?
Not there now. But they came back when rates were in the upper 3s. They didn't care. They wanted to cash out. And yep. We looked at the full strategic advantage of it. And, you know, with what they wanted to do with the money, I mean, the opportunity cost was huge for them. And they took it.
But to get that rate, when they got it, they paid a lot for that.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You may be right. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And they paid a lot for that rate. And then it didn't. Then they refinanced again. So that really didn't benefit them.
Right, you know, that was kind of the point I was making.
Right.
You know, I'm assuming because that would cost money to get there.
Absolutely.
Now, another wild example is this, because I've had, you know, because I have a lot of longtime customers, as you do too. You know, 30 years in this business will do it to you. But there's a lot of people that just call me up and they pick my brain and they feel comfortable enough with me to say, hey, listen, I got this in the mail. I called these people. I got a quote from them. You know, they're not hiding anything from me because they're like, hey, Pat, you know, here's what I got. I got a question for you. Will this benefit me? You know, and we look at the numbers. And I've had people say, look, I can't do that. You know, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I've told people I can't match that. I don't know if it's real. Based on what I'm seeing, I don't think it's real. Here's what I'm assuming this is going to cost you based on what I know your scenario is. You might want to look into this. And guess what? The stuff they sent me showed none of those costs.
Right.
And every single time, everyone of people that have communicated with me, and most people end up using me anyways, just because they, you know, they can't. Yep. I'm candid and I'm true, but I've had a number of people that have said, where I've said, I can't do it. If that's real, you should take it. Come back and say it wasn't real. Even with the quote I got, it wasn't real.
Yep.
I got the quote with none of those fees on there. Guess what? When I got the final numbers, you were right. There were 2 or 3 points. Well, 3 points on a $400,000 loan is $12,000. That's a lot of fees.
Yep.
You know, $12,000 at, you know, what, $300 a month savings, it's still going to take you, you know, 3.5-4 years just to catch up if you're saving that much money.
Yeah. I had a client that did the exact same thing. He got something in the mail or heard something somewhere and went ahead and got to the closing, got all the way to the closing table. And it was a $500,000 mortgage, and it was 3 points that it was going to cost him, you know, $15,000, you know, and he walked away.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What rate could they have gotten by not paying points? Maybe they were saving an extra $100 a month by not, you know, by paying the points. Maybe. I mean, rates. So
it wasn't even that, because we were actually able to do it with an eighth of a point difference in rate for no points.
Yeah. So maybe they were saving $45-$50 a month on that size of a mortgage.
Right.
And that's
just the points. There's other costs that are involved with that too. But you know, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, $15,000. You're saving $50. You know, that's 300 months. You know, and that's longer than your mortgage, as long as your mortgage.
Right. You know? I always try and give my customers the choice. Because, you know, I don't ever want to assume that they don't want to pay it. I mean, we can talk about it and make sense of it. And 99 times out of 100, you know, people are like, hey, no, I see what you're saying. That doesn't make sense. But I don't want to tell somebody not to, because guess what? I'm not selling. I'm only presenting, right? Where somewhere else they're getting sold. And that's always my concern when I talk to people, is like, listen, you know, rates are across the board are virtually the same. Yes, there are differences up or down an eighth of a point or so, but they're not so far different that, you know, you can't match these things. So if it seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true, you know? And that's why I always tell people, listen, I look at the bank's rates, because they're not trying to sell you. They've got customers walking in the doors, you know, nonstop. So they put the market rates out there and they structure them as such that those are where the real 30-year fixed rates are. Yes, I could quote you rates that are half a point lower, but like we just said, you know, I'll throw 3 points on there just to get you in the door. And that's not really what we're about, because the idea, again, in managing your mortgage, those are the ones that make the least amount of sense, paying the points to get, you know, a lot of points. You can pay points, you don't want to pay a lot.
And the other thing that people don't realize is when you've had a mortgage for 7 years or whatever, and now you start that over, you the difference in 5 years out, it isn't just the money you're saving, but the amortization stuff that you lost on having your loan for 10 years or 11 years, you know? So you got to look out I always look out 5, 10, and 15 years to see how much you're saving over those amounts of times. Because like you said, most people don't keep their house more than 15. I mean, don't keep their mortgage more than 5 to 7 years for sure. And so if you go out, you know, you can't go out over 30 years, because most people don't do that. So we go out 5, 10, and 15 years to see how much money you're really saving at those times. And sometimes if it's out, you know, where you're not saving money until the fifth year, that just makes no sense to do, because that's break even. Now you got to keep that loan for another 5 years to really take advantage of that. So there's a lot of things that you got to look at, but that's what we're here to do, to help you and to, you know, ask you questions, help you with your budgeting, and really see how that mortgage fits into your budget and kind of go from there.
Right. Well, I mean, the one thing I'll tell you is this, and this is a whole other podcast, but keep this in mind as well. I have done more 25 and 20 year mortgages this year that I probably have, actually I shouldn't say this year, the last 5 months, four or 5 months, I probably did more 25 and 20 year mortgages than I have in my entire career. Just because a lot of people are like, hey, you know, if I can keep my payment the same and drop my term, or if I, you know, if I keep my term, you know, like I've had a lot of people that have had their loan 3 years, refinance, but they don't want to add that 3 years back on.
Right. So
they're a 25 year term, and maybe they're not saving, you know, they're saving $125 a month, dropping a couple years off, but they're paying a lot less interest. That to them is making sense. And we can make the numbers, you know, when we look at them, we make them work. They work.
Right.
And a lot of people, 20, handful of people, 15. So reducing your term is another strategy as well, because
absolutely,
another show, and we could go on forever. So I don't want to sidetrack it, but I want people to understand this, because you're going to give them the number to reach out to us. This is something that is also a strategy that we talk about, is reducing your term. Because maybe your long-term strategy is having that house paid off. So maybe that's to you the same as having $150 a month being put away in a Roth IRA or whatever it is. You know, okay, I'm going to put an extra $150 a month into my mortgage, lower my rate by a point and a half, and reduce my term from a 30-year, 27 left years on my 30-year term to 20 or 15 years. And guess what? That to me is a big deal because that's my long-term savings. Now I have a free and clear house, you know, when I retire. Just another thought.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you do want to have that conversation with us, a strategic conversation to kind of help you with your managing your mortgage, you can text us to 720-650-6440. And if you text the word, what word should we use this week? Let's use, if let's just text the word meeting, and we will set up a strategic call with you. And that way we can get all the information that you have. If you want to include your interest rate at where you're at, we can kind of see if we can save you some money. But it really takes, and these calls are not 2 hour long strategy calls, you know. We can do this in 15, 20 minutes, ask you the pertinent questions, figure out what's going on, and then go with a step-by-step approach to move forward. So text the word meeting to 720-650-6440, and we can meet on the phone and or in person if you'd like to do that. Either way is fine. And we can really help you with managing your mortgage and make sure you're making the right decisions, because really managing your mortgage is different than just refinancing your mortgage. We don't want to sell you on low rates and sell you on different things. We want to make sure that what we're doing is smart for you and managing your finances into your budget and doing that in the correct way.
Yep. Absolutely. Well said. Well said, Dick Gerard.
All right. Well, we will end on that. So text us. You can also visit us at www.coloradomortgageadvice.com and look around there. And anything that we can do to help you, we would be happy to answer any questions that you have. Until next week, try to save some money and build some wealth.
Absolutely. Save money, build wealth.